Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Welcome aboard, K-State Nation. This is the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, once again, episode 98. Tonight, as we record this podcast, May 5th, 2022. And, oh, by the way, my name is Eddie Greer here, who lives in Manhattan, Kansas, and this podcast all about what's going on around the campus, Kansas State University, Kansas State Wildcats here. Kids, before I bring on my co-host, usually, who hops on a podcast with me, as always, of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever podcasts are found. If you're new to podcasts, welcome on board. If you've been listening for a while, or a few months, or a year, appreciate your support. And I'll get to that here momentarily as we get into this episode 98 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition here on this Cinco de Mayo, as we're recording this on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2022. And I have a full sheet here for what's been going on over the last week since we've last recorded on the Purple Project Podcast, which is episode 97. You can find that wherever you get your podcast, whether you listen to this podcast off of the Spotify app, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a few more podcasting platforms out there. Man, we are getting closer. Just one more, and then we will reach the milestone in 2 weeks on this podcast. Cannot wait for that. But, like I said, jam-packed here tonight on this episode 98. Let's not waste any more time here on this podcast. Time will be on my co-host who did not celebrate Cinco de Mayo with tacos. Instead, he had something else to eat tonight for supper, none other than Alex Aiden, who lives out there, out west, in the state of California, the city of San Diego. Alex, what's going on?
Not too much, Eddie. Apparently, not celebrating Cinco de Mayo correctly. So we are recording on Cinco de Mayo, and I knew Cinco de Mayo, but I didn't think about it, Eddie, and I had Thai for dinner. I'm usually like really good about it, you know. Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Drinko, like, hey, let's go, like, yeah, like, I'm on board. But no, today I didn't even think that far. I told you, Eddie, I blamed it. I had 7 meetings today at work, so I blame it on having a fried brain. That's my excuse for having it. But I still can't use that excuse because I went into today with the plan of having time for dinner, so I really can't use that as an excuse. And I knew Cinco de Mayo. I was talking to someone about it earlier today. So anywho, no, did not celebrate correctly. That's okay, because I'll make up for it tomorrow. How about that?
Yeah, make it up tomorrow. Yeah.
I'll have a belated Cinco de Mayo dinner to tomorrow, or maybe lunch or something. But yeah, all is good here, Eddie. We're 2 episodes away from 100. That's obviously exciting stuff for us and for this podcast, the Purple Project Podcast. And with K-State, So basketball team continues to just be crazy right now with the recruiting. Looking at the way that team's filling out, and looking at the recruits that they're getting in, hard not to be excited if you're a K-State basketball fan about what's happening there. Landing some of the top transfers, and we got a JUCO guy, and landing one of the top JUCO guys, getting a couple really good transfers in the portal. They were able to get a high school commitment from a guy that they wanted. They have another 4-star visiting this weekend. And then one of the top transfers in the portal He's going to make his decision on Monday, who is in the top 25 all-time scorers in NCAA history. So, averaged 24 points a game in his college career. So, clearly, a player of the K-State could benefit from greatly. So, he'll make his decision on Monday, which I believe is between K-State. It's Antoine Davis. It's between K-State, BYU, Maryland, Georgetown, and Detroit, where it's actually played last year. So he would be returning to Detroit if he went there. So we'll keep an eye on Monday, see what happens. That would obviously be a huge get. I know K-State's making a really big NIL push to get him. And honestly, in this day and age in sports, Eddie, a lot of times it comes down to who has the NIL money. NIL money. Yep, so we'll see. You know, based on what I've heard, is that K-State's, you know, not K-State directly, but the K-State NIL fund, people associated with that are making a hard push for Antoine. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But that would be a huge gift for them, too. I think Sean's, I forget who it is visiting over the weekend. Yeah, so good stuff there. I know that you touched a handful of recruiting stuff in the daily, so. So you know, we'll see. That roster's about, I think, about half full, and then, you know, you still got about half to fill. Just as a reminder for people, Tosh Manning is staying. He was originally a Bruce recruit, but he's staying committed. He's staying committed to K-State, so he is still on board, which I think is a good thing for them. But we'll have time to dive into that stuff, too. But, yeah, and then you look at the baseball team, Eddie. You know, the weekend did not start strong for them. I think that's an understatement. Say the weekend did not start strong for them. I tweeted you after the first two Oklahoma games, mildly, not even frustrated, just kind of comical. It was just kind of comical to me when looking at the baseball team and what they did those first couple games. If I can get to it, I'm sorry, I was arguing with Keith and Valentine over the best front offices in the NFL, so got to comb through that. The K-State baseball team, in their first two games against Oklahoma, they gave up 36 runs, they committed 6 errors, and they walked 21 hitters in 2 games. They were averaging 18 runs a game against K-State in the first game, and K-State literally walked or committed an error to 27 hitters. Just insane. Unbelievable. But, despite all that, K-State comes back, they win the final game, take 1-3. They go out, they beat Wichita State, and now they got KU coming home, and this is really the spot, Eddie. We talked about it a little bit last week, but this is really the spot where if K-State's going to make any sort of push, any sort of run, this is where it's going to happen. You've got 3 against KU, and you got 3 against Baylor. So you got 2 teams near the bottom of the Big 12, and you got them at home. So you got 6 games there. K-State's going to have to, if they're going to go on a run, it's going to be right there in that 6-game stretch. If they can't go on a run there, I think they're done. So kind of put up or shut up time, in my opinion, for the baseball team. But but we shall see. So good stuff, Eddie, and let's dive on it.
Yep, and those recaps from the Oklahoma series is out on the Purple Project podcast feed. As Alex mentioned, not going to dive on into too much because that's what the daily's for right there. Definitely go check those out, including K-State's baseball's win over Wichita State on Tuesday night, the series sweep against the little brother of Wichita State. So they take care of them back on Tuesday night as well. So a little momentum. And, yeah, Alex hit the nail on the head there with that KU series. They're going to make a run. The time is now to do that. I want to turn the clock back a little bit. I kind of mentioned this before I hit the record button to you, Alex. Let me do throwback button a little bit. It is Thursday throwback as we record this. Late, as it is just a quarter after 10 Central Time here in Manhattan, Kansas. I started listening back a couple, just like a few random episodes before, obviously, the countdown to 100 is fastly approaching. Episode 50 of the Purple Project Podcast, right?
That's not a few weeks ago. That's like 6 months ago.
Well,
episode 50? Wow. I like it. I can't even wait. Now, what are you going to dig up for the 100th? I don't even have my goodness. You're going that far back.
I decided to go at random, go way back to the halfway point of this podcast.
Yeah.
And you made a kind of a little prediction there about Texas Tech taking a step back after they lost Chris Beard, and they did not take a step back under Mark Adams. They made it to the Sweet 16. Put up a hell of a fight against Duke there.
They should have made the Elite Eight. They should have.
They should have. They look really poised to get back there again. And for whatever reason, Texas Tech knows how to win in the postseason. Finished the regular season 27-10, right? And they finished third in the conference. And we did beat Texas Tech, by the way.
We
12-6, and put a heck of a fight in the Raucous Lubbock there as well. We had a chance to steal that, and came up a bit short there.
Let's be honest. We should have swept Tech.
Should have. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous, that game in Lubbock. Now that we're able to kind of step back from it, that was the most ridiculous, like, last minute of a basketball game. I mean, K-State, I swear, got fouled, what, 2-3 times? And, like,
Nigel Pack got fouled late, which should have been free throws there.
And they called that horrific call on K-State.
Yep. And, Mike McGurl did not foul.
Oh, my goodness. What a joke. I'm sorry, that was a joke. That was like the worst officiating I've ever seen in a 1 minute span.
Yeah, don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much there, but yeah, we end up splitting against Texas Tech, and you mentioned the fact that late in the episode, you jokingly said this, so you said that K-State will be, we talked about K-State taking Baylor to the limit. We thought that K-State at that time, and this was last year under Bruce Weber, now that things are getting going with Jerome Tang, our new head basketball coach, so it's been a full year almost. What a difference a year makes, right? So you said that, nobody else didn't play Baylor that close other than K-State. And you jokingly made a comment that K-State would be cutting nets down. Well, they didn't even make it to the they didn't even make it to the playoffs, and we're not cutting the nets down. Maybe with Jerome Tang under him now, we can start to go that direction, maybe possibly.
Eddie, we're cutting the nets down next year, man. Mark my words. Episode 98.
Mark it down, K-State Nation. Episode 98.
No, please don't mark that down, K-State Nation. I'm definitely not sticking to that. I will say this. You were correct. I did think Texas Tech was going to take a step back in basketball. I think, Chris Beard is a heck of a basketball coach. Now, do I think less of Chris Beard now than I did 2 years ago? Yes, I do. I get why he went back to Texas. I don't necessarily agree. I don't like it. I think that, it was to go from Tech to Texas, even though that's your alma mater, that's still like, I don't know. That's still almost like going from like KU to K-State. That's tough. but more so what I didn't like was really the way that Chris Beard really kind of conducted himself at Texas about the situation. And I just kind of lost some respect for him, to be 100% honest. Like I said, still a really good basketball coach. He underachieved a little bit with Texas this year, but they still had a good team, and they still, were able to win an NCAA tourney game. Either way, I thought, you lose Chris Beard, you lose all the players that they lost, or you assume that they would lose, that they would take a step back. But, Mark Adams didn't follow him. Mark Adams had the opportunity to go to Austin. He didn't. He stayed at Tech and was able to keep some of those players, hit the portal hard, and they had a hell of a team and really surprised me with what they did. What's ironic enough is they've lost a ton of guys again, Man, I think next year they'll take a step back. I think Mark Adams is a heck of a coach too. So I do think that they'll be good. I do think they'll be a good basketball team next year. I just don't think that they will be a top 15 fringe top 10 team the way that they were this past season. And if Mark Adams does it again with a new group of players again, then man, I don't know what to say. Like, he's like the greatest coach of all time. Like, what? I mean, I don't know what else to say. That'd be amazing. So, by the way, he just got a contract extension, so good for Mark Adams. But he did. But I will say this about Tech: what they have built a really, really good Kirby Hokut, former K-State alum there, AD there, Texas Tech. They've built a really, really good basketball program. I think a lot of us who have been around the Big 12 for a while remember United Supermarkets Arena. There in Lubbock, back when it was empty, and there was no really life when the Texas Tech basketball program. And now you look at that place, and there is no better environment in the Big 12 than in Lubbock, Texas. And I am sorry, people in Lawrence, it's just the truth. Al Fieldhouse is number two in my opinion now behind Lubbock. I'm not saying it is.
Of course it is.
Allen Fieldhouse is still the toughest place to play in the Big 12. I am not saying that Allen Fieldhouse is not the toughest place to play. It is. Look at their record at home. They never ever lose at home. So of course Allen Fieldhouse is the toughest place to play. But the best environment, like the environment alone, love it, man. The music's in there jumping. The fans are so engaged. The place gets so loud. All the K-State players after the game said that was the loudest place they played all year. And you can see it. You can just see it coming through the TV. Every time you watch Texas Tech home game, just unreal. Unreal atmosphere that they've built there. So kudos to Texas Tech for what they've done there. And just kudos to Herbie Hoka, because that is an athletic program that's really on the rise. They've got a lot of juice. They got a heck of a football coach hire who is doing amazing things in the recruiting trail right now. And they got a hell of a basketball program and a foundation built there. They got a hell of a baseball program and a foundation built there. And so they're an athletic department on the rise in the Big 12, Eddie. And like I said, you know, I don't know if they'll do what they did this year, next year in basketball. They've definitely got a really, really good foundation there in Lubbock.
And that's what Jerome Tang is trying to do here in Manhattan, Kansas, bring it all back to full circle here on this K-State podcast, the Purple Project podcast. Bring it Octodome Doom back. So
that's right. He wants the Octagon of Doom. He doesn't want Bramlage back. He wants the Octagon of Doom back. He has said that multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll see what happens. That's for sure. A year from now, it'll be fun to watch as time goes along here. And kind of to touch up on K-State basketball real quick before we got some good news coming out of the men's golf here. K-State in the transfer portal, looking for some guys that join Jerome Tang in the squad. Some notable K-State targets coming out of the Puerto Rico rankings I came across of here. We mentioned a little bit, including my daily, last week about Anton Davis from Detroit. Alex already kind of mentioned at the top of the podcast already, Isaiah Mosley from Missouri State is at number 9. Davis is number 18 in the ranking of the transfer portal. And last but not least, a familiar name in here to the Big 12 faithful here, if you are a big 12 basketball guru, Umoja Gibson from Oklahoma is at number 62. Interesting enough, he hit the transfer portal. I don't know when, but he hit the transfer portal apparently. So, interesting name. So, definitely halfway through the roster now. Jerome Tang and his coaching staff starting to really fill out that roster, as you mentioned there. And kind of anxious to see how he's going to fill out the rest of it. Obviously, I think and other case people that are media, K-State media that are closer to the team than we are, like a Tim Fitzgerald and others, talking about there could be at least one spot left open for a scholarship, or possibly two. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes as the spring comes along and when we hit summer as well.
Yeah, and Eddie, I'll say the it's Sean Phillips who is visiting this weekend. He's a 4-star recruit.
Okay.
And he is calls himself Baby Shaq. I was curious. It'll be interesting to see what happens. He's got offers from a handful of schools: West Virginia, Cincinnati, Auburn, NC State, Ole Miss, K-State. Maryland, Indiana, Ohio State, TCU, Xavier, Georgia, Michigan, Kentucky. He's got a lot of offers, but K-State is right there in the mix. They are getting a visit this weekend, depending where you look, he's got some different ratings. But 6'11", 250 pounds. Boy, can K-State use a big like they're loading up. By the way, they are loading up on the. On the big, they got the big from LSU, who still got 3 years of eligibility. Who's going to be a really nice addition with Colbert, and they got the guard from Mississippi State, and they got Finster. Here was the latest. Well, I'm honestly forgetting. I'm losing track, Eddie, because so many, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. But Dorian Finster. He was the latest one that they landed. But one thing I've noticed about this search, I shouldn't say search. Yeah, it is kind of a search. This search for players when rehauling the roster, there's a few things that I'm noticing. Like you said, we'll dive deeper into this as the summer goes and the roster actually comes to fruition, and we know a little more what the basketball teams would look like if they're still up in the air. But Jerome Tang's staff, they're not going out, and they're not just nabbing players. And, oh my gosh, like, we're panicking, we've lost our entire roster. We just need to, like, go get guys. That's not what they're doing. They're being very selective in who they're targeting and who they're trying to go get. And you can see it from multiple spots. Number one, they don't want to just load up on a bunch of grad transfers. Guys, 1 year of eligibility. Hey, you know, we're going to stick to the fences because they don't want to crash and burn, have to rebuild the roster all over again next year.
Yep.
Look at Iowa State right now. That's exactly what they have to do. They had a great year, but now they got to rebuild their entire roster. So they're doing that, and they're also being really selective with kind of trying to get a mix. So they got a couple guys. They got a couple transfers from Mississippi State and LSU who are some guys who still have 3 years of eligibility. They're guys that can develop within your program. And then they're targeting the grad transfer who's got a year of eligibility. They're targeting the JUCO transfer who's got 2 years of eligibility. They're really mixing and matching to try to go after some different things so they can really have some balance and consistency on this roster. And they're doing it at positions too. You know, they're being cognizant of who they're offering at what positions because you want to have to find balance, Eddie, of having enough veteran players to where you can be competitive, but being young enough to where you don't have to overhaul that roster every year. So you want to be able to turn some of those scholarships over each year so you can continue to build your team and build your culture, but you don't want to turn them all over. So that's kind of that fine line that you're walking. And I think that they're doing a really good job of trying to find players that fit their system and really not panicking because we – let's be honest, Eddie. Some of the fan base is panicking when we have 3 players on the roster. fans were like, "Oh my gosh, we've got Marquise Noel, Ish Massoud, and Taj Manning, and that's our team. Like, what are we gonna do?" And rightfully so. I get it. That's scary. But they did not panic. And Jerome Tang went on the what's now called the 3-Mile podcast with Eric Young, Bull Manbeck, and John Kurtz on KCSN. Went on it and said, "Look, 75% of the players right now in the transfer portal are players whose coaches want them out. What we should really watch for is what happens in the next 2 weeks. Those players that go out are going to be players that coaches wanted to keep. Those are the players that you want to target." And lo and behold, that's when K-State really ratcheted up their efforts when it came to the transfer portal itself and targeting some guys. So just really interesting to watch the way this coaching staff is building this roster. And it'll be interesting to see how they continue to build it. And, man, if they can get Anton Davis. 24 points. 24 points a game. Having that infusion of scoring would be huge for them, because while they've got some nice players, I think a couple of the players they've gotten are still kind of developmental guys. Maybe still have some development, particularly in the offensive side of their game. So if they can get a scorer to make up for what you're losing with Nigel Pack, and to make up for maybe some of those players still have to grow in their offensive games a lot, I think that's something that's important. So that would be I think a lot of pride on them, landing that transfer. So we'll see what happens.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, definitely we'll see what happens there. As for those of you, our listeners, who have been kind of not been keeping up with the K-State men's recruiting, just kind of to put the listing together here real quick. Obviously, I did a daily on all of these so far, except for exception of Taj Manning, Doran Finister, as Alex mentioned, Jarrell Colbert, Cam Carter. Those are the ones there. And Alex, I got to go a step further than that on their latest recruit. They just got, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday, they got Jerome Tang. Did get the JUCO All-American Naquan Tomlin, which actually that kid just came out part of my daily a couple hours ago. So that was the biggest one there. Naquan Tomlin, good get, a lot of size.
Austin JUCO player.
Yep, a JUCO. Yes, sir.
One of the top ten available JUCO players.
Yes, sir. Top 10 there as well. So I like that as well. And I kind of want to add in on that as well. Do a crossover of the NFL draft, and everyone probably understand, but good explanation there. Mixing and matching. This new staff that we have at Bits Basketball, right? Trying to find the right guys for the system. And yeah, you don't want to have to go out there and just pick out random guys, and then in the following year have them transfer back, go back right back to the transfer portal. I mean, this is what it is now. And NFL draft, right? Which we'll talk about here in a little bit. The Falcons, right? My team.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out some things a little bit, but in an NFL draft, this was a decent. And no, Alex, you're not gonna get a rant from the first round pick. Sorry about that, but
I didn't think I would. I understood it. I did.
Yeah. So they're trying to find the right guys for the Arthur Smith offensive scheme. They're trying to find the right guys to put in place. And recently, actually yesterday, we re-signed Grady Jarrett's contract extension to 3 more years. So that not counting this upcoming fall's football season as well. So that's been a long time coming in there, which obviously, unfortunately, getting Matt Ryan off the books really lowers the cap hit now. So, and you hear, at least from my side, anyways, I hear a lot of the Falcons podcast I listen to daily. Some of the fans in Falcons Twitter, by the way, are going on and saying, we might not be competitive this year. But with the way that we've been going on about free agency and getting guys like Casey Hayward and others in the mix, I'm not going to name them off right now. That's another podcast for another time. Just for example, because we signed him for a 2-year deal. He was one of the more elite corners in the NFL at one point. Still is. He's been battling injuries lately, but he's with us now. So they're trying to have the right guys for the scheme at the NFL draft. Pick the right guys out. Pick the right people. Drop the right guys. Say, hey, I like your athleticism. Let's use these guys. Develop them, right? Some of those NFL draft picks, you're going to have thing like K-State, right? Jerome Tang, this new coaching staff, ain't just going out here and picking out random guys and filling out this roster and hoping to just shoot the barn and say, hey, man, let's try this guy. It's not going to work. And here, you want to be careful. This is where I think the scouting definitely comes into play here. Knowing the personnel, knowing who you're getting with, knowing who you're signing with, those guys, and you mentioned those guys from the SEC, Jarrell Colbert, Cam Carter, LSU, Mississippi State, respectively, right? They have 3 years of eligibility. You have time to develop those guys. They're not going to go nowhere. And knowing that part in your mind, that, hey, look, we have these guys for at least this amount of time, right? We can develop these guys to the point where, hey, these can be impact guys for us down the stretch. They can either start or maybe come off the bench. Who knows? Who knows down the line somewhere? So, yeah, I mean, I like that analogy there, Alex, there, that now it all ties back full circle that K-State, they really want to be competitive. Obviously, you want to win basketball games. At the end of the night or afternoon, you want to win basketball games in one of the more competitive conferences in all of NCAA basketball.
That's true. And the thing about those two guys in particular, Cam Carter and Drew Colbert, they're coming out, okay, 1 year, right? They played 1 year of college ball. Coming out of college, right, not coming out of college, coming out of high school, they're top 50 players. I mean, they were top 50 players. I believe Colbert actually, he got designated for like a different year, and that dropped him down a little bit. He was going to be a top 25 player. And then you look at Cam Carter, I believe he was a top, if he was just outside the top 50, he was definitely in the top 75 or top 100. So, I mean, you're talking about arguably top 50 players here, Eddie, and that is guys with high ceilings. Those are guys that have a lot of raw talent, and this isn't just about, you know, bringing guys in. This is about these coaches trusting their abilities to coach these young guys up, as long as they can infuse the roster with talent and with players who have their heads on straight. This coaching staff has confidence in their ability to be able to get the talent out of those players that brought those high rankings on. And the truth of the matter is, this coaching staff is recruiting talent that Bruce Weber never brought to the K-State program. And that is no shot at Bruce Weber. It's no shot at Bruce Weber. But the truth is, Malik Harris, who was there when, like, at the end of my tenure, was like the highest rated recruit to match up to any of these guys under Bruce Weber. And it's just the truth of the matter. Bruce Weber was not bringing in top 100 guys, top 50 guys, heck, top 150 guys. There were a handful of players on Bruce Weber's teams that probably didn't deserve to be playing Power 5 basketball. Once again, not a slight on Bruce. Won 2 Big 12 championships at K-State. I think he is a good coach, but there was a talent problem at K-State. Yes, we had Nigel Pack these last couple of years, but there was a talent problem at K-State. And Tim Fitzgerald hit on it, I know, a handful as well, just there being really just a lack of talent. And this coaching staff is wanting to infuse this roster with more talent. And how many times have you heard Drew Tank say it? Elevate. We're not here to rebuild. We're here to elevate this program. And they're going after guys who, you know, all from all different corners of the spectrum, from all different sides of the spectrum, but guys who have talent. They're bringing in a 4-star recruit this weekend, Eddie, who is a top 100 player. You've landed 2 transfers who are top 100 players. You possibly, we'll see what happens Monday, but they may bring in a transfer who averaged 24 points a game, who's 22nd all-time in scoring in college basketball. And, I mean, like, these are guys that K-State has not had in the past, and it's not just that. Drew King's been very open and honest about, like, we're not going after players that don't fit. say, Blamer, we're not for you. And that's, like, one of the first things we're telling these players. So, like, they're not going after guys who are here just to, you know, as a stepping stone. I mean, they're going after guys who want to come in here, who want to compete, they want to help build K-State back up to where this program should be, and to build a winner. And that is what they're going after, and I think that's a cool thing to see. And heck, Eddie, I mean, they had a five-star that they were even in talks with here, and I know it ended up falling apart. They didn't get to visit and make the final list, but you know what? When's the last time K-State was even in the discussion of possibly being able to host a five-star? And even the discussion of possibly making the final list before a decision is made. Like, that is the last time would have been, I think, Michael Beasley and Bill Walker. I legit think that would have been the last time. So, again, you know, this coaching staff, who's known for the recruiting, and we touched on that when they were hired, you know, we know that Jerome King went and he got Chris Beard's right-hand man, right there from Texas, who's known for his recruiting. And he went and he got guys who were known for their recruiting. And Jerome Tang is known for his recruiting. So, I mean, they're known for this. What we're seeing come to fruition. And the final thing is, they're targeting a handful of big men. Jerome Tang coached the bigs at Baylor. And go look at some of those bigs in the past for Baylor, what Jerome Tang has done with them. Pretty darn good bigs. Darn good bigs. You can look at the list. Over the past 10 years. They know how to develop bigs at Baylor, and that's really what this program needs more than anything. You need to get back to what they were when they had, you know, Curtis Kelly and Jamar Samuels, yep. Like guys like that. That's exactly what you need. Even Gip, you know, you got to get back to
Thomas Gibson, yep.
You got to get back to that. So I think that if you can do that, I think they'll be able to get the guard play. I mean, heck, look at the guards that Baylor's even. I know that Drum King didn't coach the guards, but, I mean, look at those guys. Like, Davion Mitchell wasn't a highly recruited guy when he transferred when he went to Baylor, and they ended up going in the top 10 of the draft, and he's balling out in the NBA. So, again, you know, coaching, trusting your coaching, and going after players that have that high ceiling. So let's go back to the draft analogy that you mentioned, Eddie. Talking about drafted players, who's got the high ceiling? You know, where's your floor, where's your ceiling? You know, we want someone with high ceilings, someone who's got high ability, who can really, you know, give us the best chance to really hit. Kind of the same thing here, Eddie. And K-State's going after players who have ceilings significantly higher than the players they brought in the past.
Listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, couple of K-State alums here on the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition, episode 98 rolling. And this was not the plan, talking about basketball, but roll the punches, great conversation here, and it's exciting to talk about what's taking place with this men's basketball roster right now, the evolution of this roster right now going on. It's exciting stuff to see, and we'll have to see what takes place after this weekend. Obviously, there's another visit from a couple other possible players that could have interest in coming here to K-State as well. So we'll see. Monday, it could be a whole different story. Obviously, we're still in the running for the Anton Davis transfer. I'll say it again, that daily of Anton Davis is up now in the archives of the Purple Project Podcast feed. You can find it wherever podcasts are found as well. And did dailies on several of these, well, pretty much almost all of the recruits that are coming here to K-State, again, for the exception of Taj Manning. So definitely check those out, including Naquan Tomlin. That's out, came out tonight as well here, May 5th, on Cinco de Mayo 2022. So definitely, we will definitely stay in the loop and see what happens there in the next week or so on how everything else goes with K-State basketball. Kind of switching gears over to kind of the biggest news story of the week. Kind of, in my opinion, got thrown under the rug. Now, I did do a daily on this, It's going to be coming out this weekend. Really, actually, give you a teaser. It's going to be a golf weekend. There you go. There's your teaser right there. Men's
right,
golf.
It's going to be sunny at 75, so that's a golf weekend for me. I'll go out, hit some 5 irons, hit some balls.
Yeah, the weather here needs to be cleared up here because it's been like raining like cats and dogs. Weekend edition coming up this weekend. The K-State men's golf team 2009. Huge accomplishment there by the Scoff team, and obviously they have been putting down great performances all year long. I believe some either five or six top five finishes this year from this men's golf team. Again, there's more deeper dive into that in an upcoming Daily Weekend episode. Stay tuned for that. So, we talked at this time last year, or it was a few weeks after the basketball season, that Swore Athletics, you know, they're going the wrong direction, right? So, obviously, you had the K-State women's basketball team make it to the NCAA tourney. And now, you add the fact, and I'll just throw in Jerome Tang, the hiring Jerome Tang, and what he and his new staff are doing right now. We just got done talking about it. And then you add this to the mix, men's golf team getting an NCAA berth, being selected by the committee to go down to Norman, Oklahoma, which is where Richard's going to be in a week and a half, down there, and to compete against they're the 11th seed, so they're going to be going up against 12 other teams. Yep, 12 other teams. There's 13 in the region. You finish in the top five, you advance to the top elite, the currently national championship of golf. So that's a huge accomplishment by this team. And of course, shout out to head coach Grant Robbins for doing his thing. I mean, this is what this podcast is all about. We try to cover all things K-State, not just the big teams, obviously, that get the most attention right here, like football, basketball, and sometimes baseball. But you have Roland right now, who knocked off KU, which is always nice to do that. You have the women's golf team, and did something on them. They did just finish 1-2 in the PTA championship in Philly yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. I did a little recap of that. That's going to come out this weekend as well. So all these, I'm naming these things off, saying that finally, are we seeing a change in the corner for all these elect programs? Obviously, volleyball had an up and down year after coming off of a good year last year. So my point being is now we've hit a stretch here. Obviously, can K-State baseball can get themselves going here with KU this weekend? I'm expecting a sweep. I ain't in that 2 or 3. None of that. I want to see K-State baseball sweep the hell out of the Jayhawks this weekend. Yeah, you heard it here first.
You heard it from me too.
Yeah, I want to see them sweep. No, you lose one of these games, then yeah, it's going to be even a steeper climb up. You have to take care of business, especially you're at home where you play your best baseball. So
you're home against the worst team in the conference.
Exactly.
You don't see your rival.
Exactly. So
go sweep them.
Exactly. So my point being right now, K-State Athletics is right now starting to find a groove and trending in the right direction, Alex, after kind of last couple years. You know, there's nothing to get excited about, whatnot, and right now, K-State's on a run right now.
Yeah, you know, to take you back quickly off the golf thing, you mentioned it, you know, that this is their first regional appearance since 2009, so 13 years since they've been a regional appearance, and it's their eighth in school history, so they'll be joining Oklahoma, Texas, Auburn, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Louisville, Missouri, San Diego State. Plenty of time to golf out here, by the way. Utah, UT Martin, and Ryder. So those are the squads who K-State will be going up against. And just to give a little brief background on what they've done, I know that you've touched on some of this in your dailies over the season, but it had six top five finishes, which is actually tied for the most in a single season of school history. So that is something for them to be really proud about. And look, Eddie, they're not looking for a participation trophy. You mentioned Grant Robbins. She talked about, you know, Wednesday was special. That was great. But our job's not done. You know, we're not just happy to, you know, be able to have that opportunity. We want to go win. We want to finish top five and you know, make national championships. Like, that's the goal, you know. Like I said, no being content with where they're at right now. So, can they do it? It'll be tough. It'll be difficult, no doubt about it. But we'll see. You know, we'll see kind of the way that goes. And like you mentioned, it's just great for them, great for the golf program. They definitely deserve the recognition for what they've done, because this has been probably the best golf season in our good last 15 years. And so that is a credit to Grant Robinson, what he's done with that golf program. And a golf program that he really has had some lows at times. That is good stuff for them. You talk about the athletic program in general. I think you're right. I think it's a trend, honestly, throughout the Big 12 right now. I feel like a lot of athletic programs in the Big 12 are in good standing and good places. I look at schools like, I mentioned Texas Tech, right?
Yeah.
You look at Baylor. They won the Big 12 in football this last year. They won the Big 12 twice in football over the last, 5-6 years, or maybe 8 years, and it made the championship game multiple times in the Big 12. They've won a national championship in basketball. They've made some amazing runs with Scott Drew and Jerome Tang there on his side, and they have also had a good baseball team at a handful of times. So Baylor is piping hot right now. And then you look around at some other schools. TCU has definitely had their moments in football and in baseball. And then also, and TCU is also just in a prime location. They're right outside of Dallas. And then Iowa State. We saw what they've done with Matt Campbell. We saw what they've done with that basketball program, where they had that down year, but they're usually really good. They bounced back, man, with the Sweet 16 this year, and they've done a really nice job of making some good hires there. So it's a trend that I'm seeing in the Big 12, but it feels like just Big 12 programs, athletic departments in general, are really good standing. And the same thing for the four schools that will be coming into the Big 12. If you look at UCF, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Houston, and you look at BYU, all really strong athletic programs, really good and really good standing. So for K-State, I think it's imperative that you have to keep up with them, right? That's why it was so important to see programs like the golf team elevate, right? To use the drum tank saying to elevate, right? And to become better. If you can get those other programs really elevating themselves, that's a big deal. Look, we saw in 2012, 2013, what it did happen to baseball team, as good as it was. That was a big deal. What good volleyball squads has done for K-State. That's a big deal. And, you know, with women's basketball, we've seen as well. Heck, well, let's dip back to rowing, Eddie. People talk about rowing. I'm an equestrian. Well, rowing too, I suppose. I usually hear rowing, but I'm an equestrian. Can you say one of the top equestrian teams? I don't have an equestrian team anymore.
We did, yep.
But they did, and people knew it, and people talked about it, and it was a thing. So if you can get that, you know, get that good supporting cast and those programs doing good, that's a great thing. You mentioned, though, you know, the bread and butter is the football and the basketball. That's what makes the money. That's what pays the bills. That's what leads to the donations and the donors and all those different things. And that's just the truth of the matter. And so, you know, you've got to be strong in those areas. And, you know, K-State in basketball has been up and down. In football, it's been not really down. It's been a little meh. Right. I think that's probably the best way to put it. You know, we went 7-5. You know, but once again, that doesn't excite the program. So, the good news is, I think you're right. You know, I think that you look at the hire of Jerome K-State fans are fired up. I mean, look, that's the buzz, man. That's the buzz. They're talking
right now.
They're talking about these recruits. They're talking about these players. And right now, there's buzz around this football team too. People are talking about Deuce. They're talking about, can he win a Heisman? Can he be up for the Heisman? Talking about Adrian Martinez, what he can do. People are talking about Chris Klieman and how the last three quarterbacks he's had have been drafted in the NFL. If you look at Carson Wentz, Easton Stick, and
Skylar Thompson.
Colin Klein. What am I talking about? Skylar Thompson. And then, heck, I mean, even Coach Trey Lance, I believe, for a period of time as well. So, that's a good thing. And they're talking about this K-State football team could win 9 games next year. Could win 10 games next year. I think that's a little ambitious, but I could see 9 wins. So, I mean, these are the things, and I think K-State's got the right people in place. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Dean Taylor, I think, has done a great job really in that role. And, heck, Eddie, let's take it a step further. Gene Taylor was selected to be part of the College Football Playoff Committee. That's a huge honor. He's the representative for the Big 12 in that role. That says a lot about K-State's standing and the respect that the peers have for Gene Taylor and this university and this athletic program. So, K-State, you mentioned it. They're kind of getting hot. They're kind of getting a streak. Hot streak, and you got to ride it, right? You got to ride it. You can't let that fire just kind of go out. You got to keep throwing throwing fuel on it. You got to keep throwing sticks on it. You got to keep throwing logs on it. You got to keep giving it fuel so it can keep growing. And that's what you got to do to keep up these athletic programs around you, because everybody's doing it. So the golf team, the volleyball team, the rowing team, the women's soccer team, if they can get going, Eddie, I think that could be really, really beneficial for the K-State team. They haven't quite gotten going yet to the way that I think that some people have hoped, but if they can get to that level, that could really elevate this program as well, this athletic department. And then you get those programs rolling. You get volleyball back to where it was with Susie Fritz back in the heyday. You know, Those are good things. You pair that with some good basketball and some good football, and what Gene Taylor's doing with the donations, all the new facilities. I mean, they got a huge facility plan, by the way, that they're working on right now. New football facility, all these new facilities for these other sports, not just for football and basketball. You know, having the women's volleyball, right? The new facility for the women's volleyball team. The upgrades have been made at 20. Looking at the Olympic facility that they're building there too. These are a lot of facilities. The rowing facility. There's that new rowing facility that they built just a few years ago as well.
Yep.
So
yeah.
These things are being built, and what they're doing is good stuff. And you mentioned you got to continue that momentum. You can't hit that lull. You cannot hit that lull. And so we'll see what happens. But seeing the golf team do what they've done is a great thing to see, and you hope that it helps them build momentum, and some other programs can follow suit.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast,
episode 98 of the Purple Project Podcast. Weekly continues. Like I said, there's a whole sheet of things I wrote down the past week. We might not even get to them tonight, obviously. But there is some things I did want to touch on real quick here that I wanted to get out there on this episode this week for you guys. Obviously, the weekly edition of the Purple Project Podcast will come out on its normal night, which is tomorrow night, as we're recording this on Cinco de Mayo, late Thursday night, as I just hit the 11 o'clock hour Central Time. And kind of some off-the-field news here regarding one of the favorite events for K-State. Cat Backer Tour is revving up its engines again. It got shut down, obviously, during the whole COVID situation, and they're bringing it back for K-State folks. It all begins May 17th, so about another less than 2 weeks. Makes its return. The Cat Backer Tour returns, folks. They're going to have a few stops here. All right, so May 17th, it all begins in Salina. And then they're going to go to Great Bend in the Nightcap. So I'm not going to... All this information you can find on kstatesports.com, or you can go, obviously, I have this on Wichita Eagle. I have this up on my one of my tabs, so I wanted to have that in handy tonight for this podcast. So, and then the following day, May 18th, well, obviously, I should lay the name off, May 18th, May 19th, May 24th, May 25th, May 26th, and the last day... Other Catbacker Tours, June 6th, where? It all in, where? Guess where? Manhattan, Kansas. And of course, in between Salina and Manhattan, you got Hayes, Colby, Scott City. And this is the order. If you want times, and go from, again, go check out kstatesports.com for more details. But Liberal, Dodge City, Garden City, Emporia, Kansas City, Hutchinson, Wichita, Marysville, and Topeka, and then of course June 6th, it all wraps up in prime time, 6 Central Time, back in Manhattan. So I definitely wanted to get this out there to the listening area, and also shout out to the Kansas City area for popping up in the top 10 as the most listeners of this Purple Project podcast, Alex. So the word is definitely getting out there about this podcast. So I wanted to throw that in there along with several other cities that came up on the website that I upload all my podcasts from, and check some of the numbers on there, like Chicago was on. And this is not in the order, so I'm not going to reveal the number one city and whatnot. So Chicago's in there, Milwaukee, and Denver came up on the list. So... Got some K-State fans out there, especially Kansas City.
So. Yeah, hey, you know, apparently, I don't know how many times I'm supposed to say, hey, you know. Kansas City, baby, what can I say, you know? They want to hear our Chiefs talk. They want to hear our Chiefs talk. That's what they want. No, Kansas City has a great K-State following. What's frustrating about Kansas City is a lot of times the K-State following there gets watered down or kind of muted or put in the back seat, however you want to say it, because of those loud KU fans who think that they own that city. And they don't own it. That's the thing. there's actually a... But, you know, despite what they may try to tell you and however many shirts they sell at Oak Park Mall that says if God was a sports fan, he'd be a KU fan. Despite how many of those they sell, there's a great K-State following in Kansas City. There is indeed. And you know, being from there, I've seen it. It's strong. They're loud, they're proud, and heck, I mean, just look at the Sprint Center, man. Just look at the Sprint Center every time K-State goes to play, even if K-State's not good.
Not good, yep.
The fans, they pack the place, man. They pack the place. So there's a loyal, a huge, huge K-State following in KC, and really, Eddie, the best way I can break it up is, yes, your biggest bucket of fans is KU fans, but I would still say... If I had to break it up like a pie chart, I would say the Kansas City about 60% are KU fans. I would say not 60. No, that's incorrect, Eddie. For the pie chart, I would say it would go about 40%. KU fans, about 30% K-State fans, 30% Mizzou fans, or maybe 50% KU. Now, not even 50. I think closer to 40, like 40, 45% KU fans. 25, 30, 35% are K-State or MU fans. So it's actually pretty diverse. fan following there in Kansas City. The KU fans are just very, very, very loud. They're just very loud. And so, you know, that's what you hear. And they translate on the KC sports media as well. They definitely is a pro KU sports sports market, which is quite annoying, but you know, what can you do? What can you do? So yes, thank you to all our listeners in Kansas City, and I've said this before, K-State fans are great all over the country. There's a K-State alumni group out here in San Diego, look, they meet for you know, football games, basketball games. There used to be a bar out here, Pacific Beach Bar and Grill, where they'd be for all the games. Like I said, they're everywhere. You know, out here in San Diego, we got a group. I know they got a group up there in Las Vegas that meets, that I think is actually even bigger than the group out here in San Diego. We've talked about some of these alumni groups before in these cities. They're all over, man. They're all over. So good for all those listeners. And hey, Denver, Milwaukee, man, Chicago, I like it. Like, diversifying the program. That's what we're doing. We're diversifying the program.
That's right. We're diversifying the program, baby. Getting the word out there. And K-State fans are listening throughout the Midwest, out West, everywhere. There's everywhere, folks. So definitely I wanted to put that in there as well. Shout out to all the listeners as we close in on a huge milestone on this podcast. So that was in the outline tonight. So I wanted to get that out there tonight for you guys. So the appreciation for you guys as well. So there is that little nugget. And we're in this podcast here. Like I said, I could go through this whole entire sheet for another hour, but I do not have that kind of time. So we're in episode 98 with, speaking of congratulating, we're going to talk about two guys. Well, obviously, there's the undrafted free agents, which, again, there's a whole day link on that I posted this week. Yeah, this week, or actually either yesterday or Monday. Man, these things are really starting to bunch and get together. But it's up there now. The whole recap, the K-State NFL draft, it's up there now in as part of the dailies as well. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but check that out. We'll do a deeper dive on into it next week for sure, if we get a special guest, depending on if we get a special guest or not, for episode 99 next week. But the two notables that got drafted at K-State, and we already mentioned one of them, Skylar Thompson going to the Miami Dolphins. This is funny, right? And I talked about this already earlier this week. These two draft picks came close together. Round 7, almost 7 picks apart. Skylar Thompson was first, going to the Miami Dolphins in the 7th round. And then a little bit later on, Russ Yeast gets selected. Probably to the best situation, the world defending world champs, Los Angeles Rams, out there near San Diego, Alex. So you might see you might see Russ out there play.
Maybe I'll see him up at SoFi.
Yeah, I mean he'll have plenty to learn, obviously, from one of the better corners in the league. That I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey on the flip side, going back. They're on two opposite sides of the United States. Yeast, California now. Skylar Thompson packing his bags. The journey that he's been on has been something else. And to get drafted, huge deal with Skylar Thompson going to South Florida, where he'll have a chance to learn and get to work. I mean, he posted a Twitter video a couple of days ago. He's very excited to get to work down there as well. I've been kind of excited about your thoughts on these two former Cats getting drafted, Alex. So what are your thoughts on the situation? Obviously, it's crowded both ways now for Russ Yeast. Obviously, he's going to have a little bit of work to do just looking at the Rams roster right now at the same time. He'll have some work to do, but he's really excited to get out there and work. And so does Skylar Thompson. So obviously, with the Miami's quarterback situation and whatnot, and no, K-State Nation, I'm not saying Skylar's going to start. Do not. I did not say that. So, but he'll have opportunity to compete. I mean, these two guys know how to do the K-State way, and they're going to represent the Wildcats very well.
Skylar Thompson to Tyreek Hill, just the way we all imagined it. Just the way we all imagined it, it had happening. Mark my book it, Eddie. Skylar Thompson starts by the end of the year.
Seriously?
No, booking that. That's a joke. That's a joke. He's not. Who did Miami bring in as their backup? They brought in Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater. So, yeah, Skylar would have to find a way to dethrone both of them to get there. No, Eddie, I told this to you before the podcast. We both hit on one player. We talked about four players.
Yes, we did.
Last podcast. On who we thought would get drafted. You said you were leaning more towards Russ Yeast and Reggie Stubblefield. I said I was leaning more towards Skylar Thompson and Josh Revis. Turns out I got one. You got one.
yep.
I will be 100% honest. I did not know exactly what Russ Yeast's draft status was. And once I actually did a little more digging in it after the podcast, I actually, at that point, thought that he would be the most likely to get drafted, but Skylar went. Skylar went as well, and I didn't know if Skylar would go or not, but he did, and super happy, by the way, for Skylar. I don't know if there's anyone who deserves that moment more than Skylar Thompson. Mm. You know, he with what he's gone through, man alive, he is the ups and the downs for the last, 6 years in Manhattan to be able to kind of culminate to the point where it looks like his football career might be over to 1 year to going out, balling out against Oklahoma to him thinking his football career might be over again with Chris Kleiman, you know, on the field on his knees crying to Skylar Thompson getting drafted. In the NFL, the roller coaster has been wild. Skylar Thompson could start for part of his career because Alex Delton and Bill Snyder just wasn't digging the Skylar thing. Skylar didn't get really the support that he deserved, and I'll be honest, not I didn't give it to him even until Chris Kleiman got here and really gave him that confidence. So
yeah, I'm in that same boat. Yep, I'm in that same.
Yeah,
boat.
Yeah, it's just been. Quite a ride for Skylar. Look, Skylar a perfect quarterback? No. Does he have flaws? Yes. Is he going to be a starter in the NFL? I don't think so. But that doesn't take away from how cool that moment was to be able to see him get that call from the Dolphins with everything he's all the blood, sweat, and tears he's put in to get that moment. Just I don't think there's anyone who deserves it more than Skylar. I think the best part about it is you mentioned that he. I think Skylar's got a chance to actually compete there. Is he going to be the backup? No. But do I think he's got a legit shot at getting that number three spot? I do. And whether that is on the 53-man roster or whether it's on the practice squad, wherever it is, I think he's got a shot at getting it. And look, there's questions about Tua. There's questions about how long Teddy Bridgewater will be there. So, you know, I'm not saying he's going to start because he's not, but there are openings, you know. There are openings, there are options for him. He'll be able to compete. You mentioned it. And that's all you want to have. You want to have an opportunity to compete. And so, he'll get that, and you got to be happy for him there. And then Rusty, you mentioned it. Can't really land in a much better spot than with the Rams and L.A. Playing alongside Jalen Ramsey, one of the top corners in the game. That is a really good fit for him. I view Russ Yeast as a player, Eddie, who could make a roster because of his ability to play special teams. I see him as a guy who could potentially be a special teams ace and get him on a roster. And look, when you're fighting for those last roster spots, Eddie, that's what it comes down to. You know, it comes down to playing good special teams. And, you know, Russ Yeast is a guy who a little undersized, but good special teams player and really a good, gritty, football player who's, you know, got the coverage, got the, you know, he's got athleticism, and he's got the ability and the smarts, the football smarts, too, to be able to make that, be able to make that jump. So, really excited for him. And like I said, I think he's got a, really legit shot at making that team and being a good special teams player for the Rams, and a player that they can, you know, put in a pinch. Do I think Russ Dease will be a starter? Probably not, again. But could he get to the point where maybe he's a guy you see in some packages? Sure. I mean, you know, things break, right? Why not? Why not? So, good for Russ Dease. Good for Skylar Thompson. Best part is, I think they both got chances to really compete, which is all I can ask for. And then congrats to all the K-Staters that made it as undrafted free agents. And we'll see how many of them can stick. I know it was a good chunk of players who have that opportunity. Eager for them to see whether or not they can make a roster.
Yeah, so definitely if you want to know more about the rest of where K-State landed, definitely go check out the K-State recap of the NFL draft that came out this week, definitely along with so many other dailies on the Purple Project podcast there. That's all exciting stuff from K-State football, and we'll transition back to baseball before we get last words here. Obviously, back to the baseball diamond. The Sunflower Showdown, baseball style, begins tomorrow night here at Toyn Family Stadium, which is obviously here in Manhattan, Kansas, on the Big 12 Now ESPN Plus Network. And for those who can't or will not be in town or whatever, the games will be on K-Man, with the exception, looks like, of Game 2 on Saturday, which is at 4 o'clock, first pitch. A little bit after that, K-State Sports Radio Network will have Game 2 of the series there, here anyway, and Games 1 and 3 will be on K-Man as well. So Big 12 Now on ESPN will have all the games this weekend there, as well as two of the worst teams in the Big 12 face off. Yes, I said it. It's the truth. I'm only speaking the truth. K-State 4 and 11 in the conference play. KU 3-12. Now K-State's 23-21. KU 19-27. So you cannot tell me that you keep on coming here. Again, going back to what I said tonight on this podcast, you gotta take care of it. You gotta take care of all three of these games. You lose one of these games, it's gonna sting. You're going against your most hated rival. You gotta take care of some business. And I expect K-State to do it. I mean, you took care of the little brother. Let's take care of the other brother this weekend. Okay, so I want to mention, get some stats up here before we get Alex back in here for some last words here. Dom Johnson coming into the series. His season average, .353 of 8 home runs and 33 RBIs. They are slugging percentage almost at .600 there. Dylan Phillips hitting .289 so far this year with 11 home runs and 34 driven in. Josh Nikoloff hitting only .255 there. He's, let's see, better not look. There we go. 6 home runs, 28 driven in. And then, of course, Jeff Heinrich, who was on a home, kind of like a home run string here for the last couple of games here. Heinrich, .307 batting average this year with 8 home runs and 18 driven in. And we know this case, the offense gets rolling, they're going to be hard to stop. So we're going to need some more of that offense this weekend against KU. Again, tomorrow night begins the Dylan Sunflower Showdown series. First pitch a little bit after 6, game 2 at 4 p.m. Saturday. And then the Sunday matinee, 1 p.m. Central Time to cap it off. And then after that, they welcome Baylor, but I'm not going to look for that far yet. We have unfinished business against KU there. So, Alex, so we kind of already previewed this a little bit there. So, kind of your last thoughts on K-State and KU here, and you got any other random nuggets to kind of close the show?
You can't see it, Eddie, but I'm holding a brain at the moment. No, I'm not holding broom. It's too much work to get up and actually get my broom to hold it up and keep the walk here. You're right. I mean, that's exactly what they've got to do. They've got to sweep them. They've put themselves in that position. Look, you're 4-11 in conference play. You're 23-21 on the year, I believe, and it's crunch time. You know, you've got KU, Baylor, West Virginia to wrap things up. You got Virginia Tech squeezed in there, so it's crunch time for this team. And like I said, I know it sounds harsh. I don't mean it to sound harsh, but they've put themselves in this position, and so no more. We split a series here.
You kind of talked about that in the beginning of the year. K-State, they had to win games early, and they have not done that, and here we are again in the same situation.
Exactly. Exact same thing. It's the exact same story, man. It's the exact same story, except to a worse degree. But the reason it's to a worse degree is because that schedule is more difficult. I know I've mentioned that multiple times, but you've hit that spot. You're not looking ahead to Baylor. I'll peak at Baylor. They're the two worst teams, Bob, besides yourself, in the conference. And you're at home. And K-State's 16-5 at home on the season, I believe. 16-5, something.
Yeah, something like, yeah, six. I think the number is 16-5. I think either 16-4 or 16-5.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. You're good at home. You win at home. So, you're better than KU. So go sweep them. Like, you have to. You don't have a choice. You want any chance to sniff a run in the Big 12 tournament, sniff a chance at any sort of postseason baseball, you've got to sweep KU, and you've got to win 2 or 3, if not sweep Baylor. I mean, that is just the truth of the matter. You're at home against two teams that you're better than, and you got to go win them. Like at the worst, Eddie, K-State needs to end that home series. I should say end it. They had the game against Wichita State and they won it.
Yep.
From here on out, they've got to go 5-1.
I agree with that.
5-1 or 6-0, man. I'm serious. It is put up or shut up time for the baseball program. If you can win the next six, you can get 2 sweeps. You're 10-11, man. You're 10-11 in Big 12 play going into that final series at West Virginia. You give yourself a chance. If you go 5-1, you're 9-12. So if you can find a way to sweep West Virginia on the road, you can finish 500. If not, you are 2 games under. But then that puts you in a situation where you probably need to win that series against West Virginia. So. That's just the point, man. Like I said, K-State's kind of put themselves in that position. And we'll see what happens. But you can't be thinking about Baylor. We can, but they can't. They can't be thinking about Baylor. They've got to think about KU because KU threw a no-hitter against them last year, and you don't want that.
No, you don't want another rant.
I think there might be a rant on episode 99 if they're going to throw on K-State this weekend. So you've got to go out there. You've just got to focus on beating a baseball team that you're better than. And look, we've said it all here, but it is the truth. The biggest thing that has messed this baseball team up this year is themselves. They have beaten themselves time and time and time and time again. Walking players, hitting players, not actually hitting players, but hitting players to baseball. Errors, just free bases, man, free extra outs. Like, you can't do that stuff. Like, play clean baseball. They have not played clean baseball practically all year. Go out, play clean baseball. You know what happens a few times they play clean baseball? They actually win, beat good teams. Like, they took 2 or 3 against Texas. They played good baseball, clean baseball. Yep. They took 2 or 3 against Texas.
Yep.
They had a chance to take 2 or 3 against Texas Tech when they played some clean. They played close to clean baseball.
Close to clean baseball, yeah.
Yeah, it's close. It wasn't there, but it was close to clean baseball. And same thing with Oklahoma State. I mean, that's the reason they lost the series against Oklahoma State, who's a top team. Was because they got in their way. And I think you can make the argument they were the better team that weekend, and Oklahoma State won the series because K-State gave them a game. I mean, You just can't do that. They get in their way, in their own way, way too much. And if they can just cut down on the walks, man, they can just cut down on the errors, they should sweep them. They're better. They're a better baseball team. I just got to get out of their way. And so, we'll see, man. We talk about baseball being the fundamentals. You got to do the fundamentals right. It's easier said than done. It is easier said than done. And we're seeing it firsthand, man. So, you know, we'll see. You mentioned offensively. I have confidence in them. They've been a good offensive club.
I'm not worried about that. Yeah.
I'm really not. The worry is defense and pitching, and that's been the worry for a majority of the year. So hopefully they can go out. They kind of hit. They had a good stretch. They were playing good baseball, and they had a little blip, a little two-game blip against Oklahoma where they just played horrific baseball. I don't know what the hell happened.
That was bad.
And then they got it together, though. They beat Oklahoma, and that final game on the road was a good win. They come home and beat Wichita State. So they kind of regrouped, but now you got to go on the run. You got to hit the run here. So we'll see if they can do it against KU. And finally, for me, Eddie, it's not sports-related, but I want to give a tip of the cap because I know that the semester is rounding out there in Manhattan. Just tip of the cap to the students. I think we'll talk again, I think, before graduation period. But may repeat it again, but tip of the cap to all the students who have done great work over the semester. You and I both have been students. We know the grind that goes into a semester. And I said it up to that point, by the time I graduated K-State, that's been the hardest thing I've done in my life, was graduate gets a college degree. Now, work I have done since then has topped that, but at that point in my life, it's the toughest thing. So it's tough, it's hard, and kudos to those students who showed up, by the way, for these teams this year. Good for them. And I want to give a special shout out, in case I forget next week, to one of our professors, Eddie, who I think molded us into the people we are, who is retiring, Steve Smothers. He is retiring after probably 8 million years at K-State, feels like. So he was obviously integral to the JMC program there. You see a K-State journalism student, you hear them, you see them. He probably had an impact one way, shape, or form into molding them into what they are. I know he has a huge impact on me. Had an impact on you, and he is just really, really the face, man, of that JMC school there.
Yep.
At K-State, and just like I said, it was so impactful. It's so many lines, and K-State's missing. That's gonna be a big loss. That's gonna be a big loss for K-State to lose Dr. Smothers. But congrats to him on retirement. Thanks to him for all he's done, the role he's played, and my professional life, your professional life, many others. I know others have talked about it. I've heard John Kurtz talk about the role that he played in his professional career. I've heard others talk about it. You look around Kansas City, there's a bunch of reporters up there. There's a reporter, Danielle Leone. I mean, all been impacted by Dr. Feathers and things he's done. So, just great for him. Big loss, but great for him. And I know his time's not done yet. Just wanted to give him a shout out because, I know he had an impact on all of us students who are here talking about K-State sports and trying to keep people in the loop on all those things.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I actually had when I was at Wildcat 919, the student radio station. For those new listeners that don't know, I had Steve Smothers on the what was then the Sports Talk, the edition of the podcast. It was one summer. I think it was the last summer that I was there at K-State. We had invited Steve on to the program. We wanted to save him for last, going into that final year of school for me, or actually final semester for me, at K-State fall. And that was a really good conversation there. we had with him, me and Kieran Manning hosted the summer sports talk there. So
that's good old sports talk, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh man, that brings back memories right there.
Oh yeah, that was a fun day having him on board and getting his perspective about everything that day and everything else. And yeah, see, that's a huge loss for the that JC program there. It'll be interesting to see how they approach filling that role. That's going to be the next step there. So congratulations to Steve Smothers on a tremendous career. Obviously, like you said, he's not done yet, but he's done so much for K-State University. Not only just for that program, journalism program, but K-State University as a whole.
No, he's not only university. He's an ambassador, man. He's an ambassador for the university. Everyone knows who Dr. Smothers is.
Yeah, the absolute, if you want to know what K-State ambassador means, look up Steve Smothers in the dictionary. That's right there, what it's all about, right there. Other side,
they'll find him at Kites on game day. I think he's got his own bar stool and everything, right? And,
yeah,
And I'm sure that will not change. I'm sure that will stay the same.
I think he'll stay the same.
He's an K-State sports fan. He will be in Kites watching the game. He will be in the Bill watching the game. He'll be in Bramble is watching them, and he will be cheering them on as passionately, if not more, than us here on the podcast. That you can also bank on. Like it is his love for K-State is not fake. It is authentic through and through.
Yep, that's right. And flipping the script real quick here, when I looked at that baseball schedule, I know that's a funny transition here to close up the podcast here. One team, let's not forget, in case they have to play in that stretch. I looked at the rest of the schedule and I'm like, wow, we're coming up to the end of this thing. With West Virginia on the road for that weekend series in Morgantown to close out the year for Cats. In between all of that, they got to go to Blacksburg. Virginia Tech, that midweek game there before that final series there. So they got to put that. I don't know what Virginia Tech's doing, but all I know is, yeah, it's gut check time for K-State baseball team. That's for sure. Take care of business. Oh, by the way, the shameless plug definitely will have, just like the Oklahoma series, pretty much the rest of the way. I will have recaps of those games, all those games, beginning this weekend. KU, so if you missed out or plan on missing out these games, I'll have a recap posted every morning this weekend of KU series. So hopefully those will be the good ones, not the rank that I went on last. I don't want to jump the gun on 100 yet, but that's one of my favorite memories. of this podcast so far, just going off after getting no hit. That was not.
I was
not happy with that.
I don't think anyone was too happy with that. That was pretty embarrassing. I really don't know how to say it. That's like a doubleheader too, where they did that. And by the way, just to give you an update on Virginia Tech, if you're curious how good they are at it. They are. I didn't know. I just looked. They're 31-10, and they're ranked 5th in the country. You're going on the road to play that. Because why not? I mean,
why not?
I mean, that stands up, man. Their schedules are brutal. All year they played top. I swear, I feel every year. Well, okay, here we go. K-State up against another top five team. Like every single week, it's insane. Like it's just crazy. And like, I don't know, man. 31-10, 5th in the country. I did not know Virginia Tech was that good. I knew they were good. I knew they had a good program. I did not know they were that good this year. So that's going to be probably one you can't bank on. Getting a WN.
I had no idea. Obviously, we know about the football team in recent years and whatnot. I had no idea they're this good in baseball. So, Yeah, K-State, yeah.
And West Virginia is 27-16, by the way.
Well, yeah, I kind of knew a little bit about West Virginia.
Yeah,
already,
they're 9-6 in conference play, so it's not like they're having a bad season either.
Right, yeah. So, oh boy. So, buckle up, K-State baseball fans. Show up to Toyin this weekend. Really looking forward to some nice ones at the ballpark there. So, you have a chance. If you're around Manhattan or coming to the ballpark, definitely support the Cats. They're going to need it. Hopes to take care of KU this weekend. Man, we basically almost covered everything on the sheet here. So that's where we're going to leave it. Episode 98 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly is in the books. Alex, wow, this was a very good episode tonight here on the podcast. Again, if you're not subscribed to this podcast now, this will be a good time to do that. Find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether you're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Odyssey, and a few more podcasting platforms out there. Make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Project Podcast. And again, we kind of thank the listeners already tonight, whether you're in the Midwest or in town or Topeka, Kansas City, we appreciate you a lot, and continue to spread the word. As I always say, make sure you tell a fellow K-Stater about the Purple Project Podcast. That's going to wrap things up on 98's in the books, Alex. We're getting there. Almost there.
Well, also 100, Eddie. We are close.
Yep, that's right. That's going to do it on this edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Have a good rest of the weekend, folks. Alex, we'll be back next weekend. Or next weekend. Next week.
Yes, I look forward to talking to you.
Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.